The stereotypical picture of someone with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, tends to be a young boy who just can't sit still in class. But that picture does not tell the whole story. There's increasing evidence that girls with this disorder are underdiagnosed. And while the symptoms might change over time, ADHD doesn't just disappear as you reach adulthood. So what does that mean for adult women with this disorder? Well, here to talk about that is Ann Arbor-based therapist Sari Solden. She counsels adults with ADHD. She's written books on women with the disorder and with us now. Sari, welcome.
Nice to be here, Cynthia.
First, to get everybody on the same page, we hear of ADD, attention deficit disorder, and now ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. What are the differences? Because I'm wondering, as we talk today, are we kind of pretty well applying this to both?
Well, the name keeps changing, and the name used to be ADD. Now it's ADHD with three different types, so it's confusing. Sometimes we still use ADD because we're used to it, and we want to refer to people who don't have hyperactivity. But today we are going to focus more on what they call the inattentive type, because that's the most common one for women and the one that's most easily missed.
Yeah, let's start about that. Why are women less likely to be diagnosed with ADHD when they're young and more likely to be diagnosed later on in life?
Well, because they don't fit a stereotype of the hyperactive little boys that we still have. They don't cause problems often. They're actually often people pleasers, sometimes internalizing their problems, feeling anxious and depressed, but actually working hard. And teachers often like to have them in their classrooms, but they don't fit the stereotype, and often their symptoms are masked for a very long time, especially if they're smart, especially if they've had family support and have had structure. Often they're okay until they go to college or they're faced with managing their own lives, and then they hit a wall, either in college or after college when they have children or get married or start a job. At some point, the demands are too much for them.
Okay, so that image of the third grade little boy bouncing off the walls in the classroom, that's not what we're seeing, what we tend to see. And so, as you say, the girls are masking it. How are they able to mask it?
Well, they're not trying to mask it. That's just the way they're enculturated or the way they roll. They're just more often working hard, or they're smart, or their parents are helping them structure them. And so because ADD affects much more than academics, it's often not till they go away and try to lead a more independent life, have to manage their finances or their room or clean up themselves. So many more demands on their executive functioning, which is about what ADD is actually about.
Which leads me to have you break down for us, what is going on with ADHD?
You know, it's defined in so many different ways, but we like to think about it now more in terms of this complex brain wiring that affects the executive function or management functions of the brain. And this really is what women and men, but women often need to make their lives work. They're prioritizing, coordinating, organizing, activating themselves to figure out what to do, how to stay with it. And so it's complex syndrome of clusters of difficulties that is not the same in everyone, but it makes it difficult to lead an organized routine life for an individual. And for women, that often collides with what they feel is their job description.
Okay. And do we know anything about what causes this?
Well, we don't have a firm hold on it now. We think that the dopamine and your neurotransmitters are involved, but they're doing so much more neuroimaging and research now to understand that it's in the complex networks of the brain.
Now, to get a sense of what it's like to live with it, let's hear your story. When were you diagnosed?
Well, I was diagnosed in my 40s, actually late. I was smart, just like a lot of girls. I was sweet, educated. School wasn't a problem because they told me what to do and they told me when it was due and I knew what to do. But life was more difficult. So I had no idea why I was in some areas doing great. In some areas, had no clue. I couldn't keep up with, didn't know how to get dressed, didn't know how to keep up with the teenage things, didn't know how to organize myself. They used to call me Messy Bessie, actually. No one knew who I was. But because I was educated and I was smart and I was doing okay, nobody really paid attention to it until I finally was working in an agency with adults with learning disabilities, a counseling agency that I was able to, at the right place at the right time, we started understanding that people with ADHD never had to have hyperactivity to have these very complex organizational problems. And so that's when the book started coming out, very early 90s, where we understood mm-hmm. that you never had to have hyperactivity. And even for the adults that had hyperactivity, they often lost it then. And we thought it used to disappear. Now we understood in the early 90s.
And what was your feeling like when you kind of connected the dots and went, whoa?
Oh, me, like many women, feel very relieved. I read a book called You Mean I'm Not Lazy, Stupid, or Crazy in the early 90s. I went to my first ADD adult conference. I was living in California. I came to Ann Arbor for that. And it was the first time I saw hundreds of adults not hiding, not in the closet, not passing for normal, that I understood how much in daily life people, women and men, sort of hide their difficulties to try to fit in. And that's when I went back to California and started studying my clients.
I'm talking with Ann Arbor-based therapist Sari Solden, who counsels adults and particularly women who have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. What is the emotional toll that can happen? And let's talk about these women, these young women who, as you say, they go away to college or they're out on their own, and then the day-to-day, just they feel overwhelmed, they feel like they can't keep up. What emotional toll does that take?
And that's why, as a therapist, that's what I specialize in. You know, if I say if at the end of the day you're only coping with ADD, that's a good thing, because the shame and the stigma and the hiding and withdrawal, trying to pretend that you're like other people, is what women do to compensate. They hide their difficulties, they feel ashamed, they have internalized this. They have brain shame, like instead of body shame that you compare yourself to. Women with ADHD don't realize it, but they're comparing, why can't I do what other women can do? They have no idea how to lead an organized routine life, even though there might be areas of their life that they do really well in. ADD is a very environmentally, situationally based disorder. So if you're in an environment that pulls on your strengths and has the right amount of structure or stimulation, you do great. If you're just there trying to figure out how to organize your house or manage a household or deal with all the
school day.
Yeah, yeah, school day, anything like that, you're out of control. You know, I work with people, not just women in their early 20s, but all the way up till 80, 85. Women are finally getting diagnosed more. And it's such an amazing relief just to know that it has a name and you're not crazy.
What is the diagnosis process?
Well, you know, there's no blood test. So you have to make sure you're going to somebody who really can do a nuanced interview. Not everybody needs to run out and get full thousands of dollar testing, although some people need that, especially in school, to understand your strengths and weaknesses. But you need to go to a professional. It could be any professional who's a specialist in adults and especially women. Good luck finding one with ADHD, because it's very subtle and it's severe and it's pervasive, but it's subtle. Women compensate. They sometimes self-medicate, lots of Diet Coke. They're trying to stimulate their brain, or they're getting a lot of help, or they're underachieving, or they're overworking. You can't judge from the outside. You have to understand how painful the difficulty is of having to manage your brain every minute of the day.
And what's the treatment?
Again, the treatment, call it the MEST model. You know, it's usually a combination of medication, which stimulants is often very helpful for a brain-based disorder. It's brain-based.
Right.
But that's not enough. You have to, the brain gives you the fuel to then start to see yourself from a whole perspective. So you can't just focus your life on your deficits. You can't wait until you're over this chronic condition. You have to get education, but you have to understand how your brain works well, and you have to get somebody, support, coach, therapist, somebody, a group to help you move toward finding a life that is meaningful to you, that where you can see your strengths and your difficulties, and you can not wait until you're like the woman next door. You know, like women want to become quote unquote normal. And we're trying to tell people only dogs and furniture need to be fixed. You could instead try to find a way to let yourself be yourself with the right kind of support.
Now, you mentioned medications, and Adderall is often mentioned for this. And so I'm wondering what kind of concerns you hear among patients with whether there's stigma or there's concern about abuse or addiction surrounding Adderall.
Well, I mean, I think that's in college. You know, other people with ADHD, other than college students, they just want to be normal. They just want to feel good. They do not want to feel high. They don't. So,
no.
But
and tell us, how does a stimulant like Adderall take the hyperactive attention deficit brain and reset it to?
Well, I guess it's sort of a paradox, you know, because it doesn't. You would think it makes you more hyper,
yes,
but it's actually makes the transmission of information through your brain more consistent and more efficient. So you don't have to worry, is my brain going to work this day or this day? Mm-hmm. And it just makes it more, you can rely on your brain working. It's just a baseline, though. It's necessary often, but not sufficient. You need coaching. You need support. You might need an organizer. I have a whole team that I work with, and try to figure out what it is that you need. You might need medication, organizing, coaching, therapy, because basically our therapeutic approach is what we call untangling, where that's the hardest, longest thing, but something that you can achieve where you can separate out your self-worth from your brain-based challenges. And for women, it's all one big blob until you do that work.
And I guess that's how I'm wondering, a woman, how does she learn to embrace that different way she thinks rather than trying to force herself to be, air quotes here, right, normal,
and
air
that, quotes. And that's the biggest challenge. And every woman, no woman has ever come in to see me in 30 years and says, I want to accept myself. They all say, I want to be fixed. I want to get over who I am. And so it's a long process of finding a therapist who can see you see your strengths, see you whole, help you understand there's two tracks. There's your chronic brain difficulties, and then there's you as a person, and you have to focus on that and not wait to get over your difficulties because it's chronic. You're going to get some improvement with medication and help and strategies, but that's not going to, you can't spend your whole life waiting to get quote unquote normal. Groups are really important. Online, there's so many resources now. There's a great national organization called ADDA, which is for adults with ADHD. The most therapeutic thing I've seen for women, besides, you know, finding a therapist or a coach who can understand you, is to find other women who also have not just the same difficulties, but also the same strengths and great personality, humor, resilience. There's a lot of great strengths.
Sari Solden, Ann Arbor-based therapist, author. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Cynthia.